Okay, very Mishnas. Learning in the halachos of the Rambam, in the second parak, the eighth halacha on the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, we just finished off talking about how while our efforts throughout the entire year are encouraged and are accepted, it is all the more so encouraged and all the more so accepted to do tshuva dafka b'ein Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. Says the Rambam, moving forward and explained really what Yom Kippur provides us on in the seventh halacha. Now, Havidu shenagu b'kol Yisrael, kulanu v'hu ikir. So this is an incredible line. This is an incredible line in the Chos Rambam. Rabbi Lam has a beautiful drasha. I'm trying to actually, I think he used it twice. If you look in the archives of Rabbi Lam's drashos, he uses this line, "Avala nachtu chatanu," to be a remarkable turning point in a person's perspective, and he used it, I'm pretty sure, right after the Six-Day War, but I don't know 100%, and one should look into whether that's accurate. Maybe I'll share it in the group at some point. But nevertheless, what the Rambam is expressing here is these lines of "Avala nachtu chatanu." That's the ikur avidui, and you'll notice that we say it quite often in our slichos. Aval anachtu v'avoseinu chatanu, right? And then it's right before we say ashamnu baganu, right? And that line is so incredible because really, what we're saying beforehand is, ideally, we were in a situation. Ideally, we're in a situation in which we could come before you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and say we didn't sin. But the aval that's represented here, aval anachnu avaseinu chatanu, the aval that says, but we messed up, but we're not living up to our potential, but, and there's so many avals for each and every one of us. There's an aval in so many areas of our own lives. How many times we could say, I wish we were doing this, but chaval, we're not up to living up to that. Aval this, aval that. The aval in anachnu, right, aval anachnu avaseinu chatanu is a critical line. That's the ikra of vidui when it comes to Klal Yisrael's vidui, and it's the ikra of vidui in our own lives because it comes to wake us up in a different way than a shofar does. A shofar wakes us up, it jolts us out of bed, it jolts us up into a reality in which, oh my gosh, I've been mistaken. I've been in a dream or I've been in a nightmare, depending on what things are like. It means that in the moment we have an awareness, perhaps even a greater awareness than we had beforehand. Even if we came in with the right intentions, there's still a moment, and it typically is a very hard moment for me, for example, in my slichos. That moment of saying aval is a recognition that there is a this version of me in the ideal world, but there's something that is totally different. The but totally undoes so much of the expectation beforehand. It's a little bit like, actually, the Rav himself uses this type of comparison between this and the shofar. I'm not sure if he has this intention in mind, but when we do Emes Maneh Adar on Yom Kippur, and it's such an excitement, right? And, we're ready for him to come out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and it's exciting. We see him coming out. And then at the very end of it is an awareness, aval, because of our avonos, we don't have this. And it's a dreamlike perspective that we have that is then crushed with a simple word of aval. It totally recalibrates where we are. And the same thing about our own lives and our own expectations of ourselves. We have expectations, we have dreams for who we can be, for who we would like to be. And then there's this aval that stands in the way of those dreams, that stands at the, I guess, at the pinnacle point between ideology and practical thought. And perhaps it's this aval, and I've used this before, this idea before, that helps us move past the idea of cognitive dissonance. Meaning this aval is standing at the point of cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance is the distinction between my actions and my thoughts and my ideals. And very often in our minds, we want to be perceived one way, but we act in a certain way. And so very often, frequently, unfortunately, people typically move towards their actions rather than their ideals. I do this already, so I may as well just continue doing this. This is the person that I am, so I may as well just continue doing that and give up on the ideals and say that was just too much to think about. Really, I should be here. And it's such a very unfortunate shift, really, because we convince ourselves, and with the Yetzer Hara's help, we convince ourselves that we are no longer worthy of this, and rather we should shift towards where our actions are instead. But in reality, and by the way, that's exactly what the Sefer Chinuch says, Acharei HaPeulot Nimshachim Levavot. We do pull ourselves based on our actions. We have to be very careful about our actions. But in reality, our chataim don't define us. The chataim can't define us. We have a totally different perspective of ourselves that we'd like to be and that we'd like to push ourselves into. And I think this aval, this reckoning of the fact that there are two different distinctions and I still am committed. This aval doesn't only tell me that I'm not where I'd like to be and therefore I should just stay there. It says, aval, I'm not where I'm supposed to be, but there's also still a dream of who I can be. It maintains the ideal version of who I can be, even if I'm aware I'm not there right now. It still maintains that. Unfortunately, too many people just say, okay, this is who I am. It's not an aval. It's not an awakening or reckoning with the fact that I'm missing something. It's an awareness. I am this person now. No. Those are my actions. And yes, Acharei HaPeulot Nimshachim Levavot, and unfortunately, I've been pulled in that ray, and I regret it, and I feel bad, and I have charata. Aval, I'm not this person, right? I wish I was this person. Aval, I'm doing more like this. But the aval also keeps aware of the first statement. There is a this still in my dreams. There is a this. There is a perspective that I'd like to be. There's an ideal version of myself that I'd like to maintain and like to keep alive. And I don't lose it simply through just happenstance. Avera she'ezvada aleihem b'yom ha'kippurim zechozer misvada aleihem b'yom ha'kippurim acher afal pishahu omid b'tshuvaso sh'ne'emar kipsha'ai ani eida v'chatasi negdi tamid. Says the Rambam, even if I have already done vidui on previous averos, and not only that, even if I've been successful in doing tshuva on previous averos, I do vidui on one Yom Kippur, and the next Yom Kippur I come along and I do it again. And you might ask yourself, why? It makes no sense. Why? If I was really great, I don't know, Lashon Hara, whatever that number is, whatever that chet is. Let's say I was really good this year. I really worked on it. So shouldn't I be able to just check that one off and cut it out of my Yom Kippur davening? Why do I need to explicitly say it? It says in the Rambam, we still need to say it. Right? Even if you're Omer B'Tshuvasa, why? They're always there in front of me. My sin is always in front of me. Why? That could be so depressing. No, first of all, I would suggest three ideas. One idea is the fact that I moved past it. I'm looking at it and I'm actually, it's like a victory dance in some ways, right? This is one perspective. It's a victory dance. It's negi tamid. It's always in front of me, but it's a victory dance. I once was suffering with this. I once was falling to this chait. Al-chait shechatanu, we did it in the past. Right? Because Baruch, look at the fact that I'm not doing it right now. That's one, again, I don't think that's pshat in the Rambam, but it's an idea. Second idea is the way that Rav Shechter presents this, and I think this is a beautiful idea of Rav Shechter, which is when you did Al Chait last year on the sins you did from the previous year, right? So let's say I did Al Chait this Yom Kippur on the Chataim from this previous year. I'm at level, whatever level I'm at. Hopefully by next Yom Kippur, I'm at a higher level. And then by then I could realize how much greater my chataim were than what I did al chait previously. Meaning, in other words, even if I was able to refrain from Lashon Hara this entire year, because I grew from that, because I became a better person from that, next Yom Kippur, I still have al chait because I don't think I did a full tshuva from the previous year yet, because there's something that was, I didn't appreciate the greatness of my previous chataim. There's an al chait still on that. Right? There's an al-chait in the fact that I didn't even understand how bad the chataim were when I did the al-chait the last time. And now that I've gone into another level this coming year, now I could say al-chait again. And it presents an entire perspective of that there's a lifetime of growth. It's not like I check off a box and I'm done with something. There is a there's a sin that I am aware of, and because of it, I still continue to say al chayt, because I now understand how bad it was in a deeper way the following year. There's another perspective that I think you could say is that typically, again, when we're doing this betzibur, al chayt shechatanu, the lashon is chatanu. We did this together, right? This is a collective. This is a vidui peh, but of the tzibur. And so even if it's not necessarily an oven that you're continuously doing, it might be a chet that other people are continuously doing. Nevertheless, whatever the reason for it being, the Rambam says that even if I am totally gevaldik in my tshuva, and I have totally wiped it clear, I continue to still say al chet shechatanu on those avonos afterwards. Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the ninth halacha of the Rambam. And we are getting to, the last two halachos in the Rambam, the last three halachos in the Rambam in this parak. Mirat Hashem will pick up tomorrow with the ninth halacha. I think everyone was here for the shofar. Have a wonderful day.